Coming back then to the rest of the paragraph, the last part now, Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 33 of the Last Judgment, we come to that last phrase, and to receive according to what they have done in the body, whether good or evil. So all a person's living have appeared before the tribunal of Christ. They have to give an account of their thoughts or words and their deeds. And then this is the next thing that takes place. And to receive according to what they have done in the body. And so the last bit of this paragraph is telling us something about what they're going to be rewarded with, or about the retribution for the sin and for the evil. So it's a judgment of just retribution or recompense and reward. Now, paragraph 1, I remind you, is telling us about the nature and character of that day in a general sort of manner. What it'll be like, what'll take place, what'll happen, and after the account, rewards are the punishments. So something's received after you give an account. There is a reception of the outcome of the judgment. As usual, these words are scriptural. They have lifted these words out of the Bible. They've taken them from the English text of our sacred scriptures. And it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he have done, whether it be good or evil. That's a scriptural text. And the divines say, to receive according to what they have done in the body, whether good or evil. So it's nearly exactly that text, the end of that text. There are a few changes, but it's the same idea. It's paraphrased slightly, but it's a biblical expression. And the divines are always doing this. Now, that's the amazing thing about the Confession of Faith. Large chunks of it are just the text of Scripture, the Word of God, which is why they weren't really preparing proof texts, because the Confession was made up of texts largely, and they had to go back and produce more proof texts for Parliament. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 then is the key text in this regard. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. This text is designed to put fear in God's people and fear in sinners. And in it, Paul is reminding us of the certainty of the judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat. He's reminding us of the universality of the judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat. And he's reminding us who is on the judgment seat. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then we're also reminded that the recompense will be received. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. And so there's this recompense according to the things done in the body. And then after that, the apostle reminds of the terribleness of this judgment. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So it's a fearful thing, the judgment day. And the apostle reckoned that. And he reckoned that it needed to be preached to sinners. And it was one of the things that was used in the gospel to urge men to repent and come to Jesus Christ because of the terror of the Lord in that great judgment day. But the thing that we're pointing out is that this judgment that is received is according to the just deserts of all persons. The rendering according to a man's deeds whether they're good or whether they're evil. And this idea is frequent in the Bible. It's not just 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This whole idea that a man's deeds, he will receive the just recompense for in that judgment day. And so I'll just give you a few texts just to remind you of this, that the reward or the retribution is just. Psalm 62, verse 12. Because remember, a lot of these texts are found in the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms, as well as the New Testament. Psalm 62, verse 12. Unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Then Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. So there's something being dished out on the judgment day. There's the rendering of the reward or the punishment. Ephesians 6, verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So it's universal. Any man, every man, according to what he does, if it's a good thing, he'll receive of the Lord the reward. If it's an evil thing, there'll be the recompense and the retribution and the punishment. Colossians 3, verses 24 and 25, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So, whether good or evil, according to that he hath done. And this is a universal teaching of Scripture in regard to the judgment day. Now, what that rendering is, what the punishment is, or what the reward is, isn't detailed in this first paragraph. It doesn't say what the wicked receive or what the righteous get. It is highlighted in paragraph 2, and we'll come to that on a future occasion. It is also described in larger catechism question and answers 89 and 90. The answers are quite long to those two questions, and those two questions focus on what they receive. And so the question is, what shall be done to the wicked at the day of judgment? And then question 90 is, what shall be done to the righteous at the day of judgment? Good or bad, according to that they have done. It doesn't go into detail in paragraph 1, but the larger catechism goes into detail on what happens to wicked and what happens to righteous. And also paragraph 2, as I said, goes into that matter as well. Not as great a degree. I remind you, the larger catechism expounds and enlarges on the confession and provides more proof than the confession does. So it's another document that has to be brought along beside the confession of faith, and we have to subscribe to all these things, because the larger catechism is just the explanation and the enlargement of the confession, and for the teaching of the ministers and the elders, and also for the teaching of the congregation. So I think we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there tonight, rather than to go into paragraph 2 to begin another theme this evening. So that concludes then our looking at the first paragraph of Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 33. The nature of the judgment day, what it's going to be like, what's going to happen. We've answered those questions by looking at this paragraph. So thank you for your attention in that regard. Are there any questions?